Have you ever been driving a familiar route when all of a sudden something clicks and you realize you don't remember having driven for the last half hour? Like, one minute you were getting on the 10 at San Vicente, and the next thing you knew you were getting off at Mulholland, but you don't remember having gotten onto the 405. Or you decide to reference a contemporary comedy bit and then realize it's more than a decade old and you don't remember that much time passing. Or, even stranger, one moment you're minding your own business in your own timeline and suddenly it seems you're in a completely different timeline. Welcome to Strange and Unexplained with me, Daisy Egan. I am someone who frequently loses time, but not because of anything paranormal or odd. I'll be like, I'm just gonna close my eyes for a few minutes, and the next thing I know, it's tomorrow. And yet, somehow, I'm just as tired as I was when I went to close my eyes. The experts still haven't figured that one out, and they haven't figured out the kind of time slips and lost time that the folks in today's episode, our final episode of season 3, said they experienced. But wait, I hear you cry. If this is the last episode of season 3, where will I get all that strange and unexplained that I love so much in the interim before season 4? Well, first of all, not to worry. There's more Strange and Unexplained coming, and right now you can join our Patreon and binge all the bonus episodes for just $5. That's 26 bonus episodes and 3 new ones per month. And for another $2, you get all that plus all our regular episodes each week ad-free. So head on over to patreon.com/strangeandunexplained for your extra dose of Strange and Unexplained. But let's not lose any more time. See what I did there? So, time. It keeps on slipping into the future. What's the big deal? It's the thing that tells us we're late for work. It's the thing that helps us guess when a baby will be born. It's the thing that makes us weep in the middle of the night because we're running out of it, and also it keeps going and going, and when do we get a break? Most of us think of time as moving in a straight line, but that's not generally how really smart people who study these kinds of things think time works. You know me, stranger. Incidentally, if you don't, hi, I'm Daisy. I'm no time-ologist. I got a solid C in science or math or whichever discipline the study of time falls under, and that's when I was really applying myself. And every time I try to explain science, someone inevitably DMs me to tell me what I got wrong, and do you even do research? It's fine. I'm not upset about it. But I don't have a lot of extra time in my day to sit corrected about each science fact I get wrong. Except that I probably do have a lot of extra time, it's just that I don't know how to access it, or something. I'm unclear as to how it works. So, here's the little golden book version of the evolution of how humans conceptualize time. Isaac, an apple fell on my head, therefore gravity, Newton, didn't just discover why apples fall on heads, but also theorized that time traveled like an arrow in a straight line from a beginning point to infinity and beyond? Judgment Day? Next Tuesday? I don't know. And it's not important. His contribution was that time went in a straight line from then till now and later. According to a piece on How Stuff Works, quote, to Newton, 1 second on Earth was the same length of time as that same second on Mars, Jupiter, or in deep space. He believed that absolute motion could not be detected, which meant that nothing in the universe had a constant speed, even light. By applying this theory, he was able to assume that if the speed of light could vary, then time must be constant. Time must tick from 1 second to the next with no difference between the length of any 2 seconds. This is something that's easy to think is true. Every day has roughly 24 hours, so you don't have one day with 26 and one with 23, end quote. I mean, I swear it's been 2024 for 6 years already, but what do I know? But then in 1905, Albert, someone get this guy some leave-in conditioner, Einstein, came along and was like, nah, bro, time is like a river. It goes one speed when nothing is around to disturb it, and it goes a different speed around rocks and stuff. His theory, as explained by How Stuff Works, was basically that, quote, time would speed up and slow down around cosmological bodies with different masses and velocities, and therefore 1 second on Earth was not the same length of time everywhere in the universe, end quote. And then, in the 1970s, physicists J.F. Haffeley and Richard Keating put some fancy clocks in a couple of airplanes to test Einstein's theory, and wouldn't you know, he was right. That guy, man, he was a smart cookie. Basically, the clocks were nanoseconds behind or ahead of earthbound clocks, depending on the direction in which the plane was flying. Please, this is giving me standardized test PTSD. According to LiveScience.com, quote, for example, if one twin spent 79 years living at an altitude 1 foot higher than her sister, the first twin would end up approximately 90 billionths of a second older, the researchers found. The scientists measured this by using super-sensitive clocks, each made of a single charged aluminum atom that vibrates between two energy levels over a million billion times per second. They placed one clock at a higher elevation in the lab than the other, and found, just as Einstein predicted, that the higher clock ran slightly faster than the lower clock, end quote. Obviously, these nanoseconds or billionths of a second aren't like the sexiest thing in the world, but if the difference in time can be measured from such a short distance off the Earth, imagine how differently time flows way out there in space. It also bears mentioning that cultures throughout the history of our planet have had different conceptions of and relationships with time. But in general, there has always been a yesterday, today, and tomorrow, in one form or another. But if time doesn't go in a straight line from here to there, what does it do? I mean, I guess semantically, time doesn't do anything. It's our perception or experience of it that changes. Time just is, I think. It doesn't go anywhere. Kind of like me in winter. I just exist pretty much in one spot and the world happens around me. According to a piece about time slips on the Lutton Paranormal Society website, quote, the time slip theory works from the premise that time is fluid rather than fixed. Time is not linear as we experience it, but exists within a context of a single point of space. End quote. So, when on The Good Place, which I guess is my favorite show with how often I reference it, they explain the course of time as looking like the name Jeremy Baramy spelled out in cursive, with the dot of the I being, quote, an isolated point on the timeline which contains Tuesdays, July, and occasionally the time moment where nothing never occurs, end quote. They're only partially right in that, at least according to Einstein, the dot of the I is the only place time exists. There is no timeline because time exists all in one single point. To be honest, I don't really understand this, and thinking about it makes me want to go back in time and never be born. But then I suppose the point is I can't go back in time, even if time travel were possible, because there is no back in time. In her notes to me about this episode, my producer, Angela, said that the theory of relativity is the basis for the less scientific theory of time slips and missing time. And I don't know who wants to break it to her that the theory of relativity is about as sciencey as one can get. Even so, here we are, marching forward through this episode, but not through time. A time slip refers to traveling through time without the aid of some kind of time machine. Because, of course, as far as I know, no one has invented a time machine in this timeline yet. And missing time is the phenomenon of suddenly becoming aware of yourself and your surroundings without being able to account for some amount of time. Let's address the former first. If you've watched Loki, you probably know that Tom Hiddleston is oddly attractive in a way that I just can't put my finger on. And also that in the world of that show, there are infinite timelines, but also one main timeline, and somehow the other timelines are affecting the main timeline. Honestly, I was completely lost in season 2. The point is, though, that Loki starts blooping in and out of different timelines through no action of his own. In her book Kindred, Octavia Butler's main character bloops back in time with the help of a dead kid. There are countless examples in literature of time slips. It's an attractive plot device because, honestly, who wouldn't want to bloop out of an uncomfortable dinner with your in-laws? Or waiting in line for gas at Costco? Or just being alive in the 21st century altogether? But time slips are not just the stuff of fiction. In October of 1957, three teenagers on an orienteering exercise as Royal Navy cadets were walking through the countryside in Suffolk, England, in search of a waypoint when, according to the blog Historic Mysteries, quote, "As they were approaching their target, an idyllic village called Kiersey, the boys became distracted by the sound of church bells and a plume of smoke rising above the hill they were climbing," end quote. Kiersey was indeed their intended target location, but as they approached the village, something wasn't right. The autumn leaves had suddenly become springtime greenery, and the birds had stopped chirping. And though the church bells were still chiming, they couldn't see the church spire or the plume of smoke that had been up ahead in the town moments before. The town itself was deserted, bereft of not only people, but cars and anything else that might be found in a town in 1957. According to Historic Mysteries, quote, "The buildings themselves looked ancient to the boys. They were timber-framed and had seemingly been built by hand, or as one boy put it, almost medieval in appearance. The boys peered through the window of a butcher shop. It was empty except for two rotting oxen carcasses hanging on meat hooks. Next, they peered inside a house, finding it too was completely empty. The trio then had the eerie sense that they were being watched somehow and were promptly like, fuck this noise, and got the hell out of there. When they got some distance between themselves and the creepy town of Doom, they looked back and once again saw the church spire and the smoke." A few decades passed when, in the 80s, two of the now men reconnected and were like, you remember that thing that happened, right? I didn't just, like, make that shit up, did I? And while their memories weren't identical, they agreed the whole thing was weird enough to warrant a call to our favorite paranormal investigation group, the Society for Psychical Research. Andrew McKenzie, one of the leading members of SPR at the time, was like, oh yeah, that was a time slip. No biggie, but also big biggie, because it's super rare, and yeah, of course you don't have any proof, but my schedule is wide open. McKenzie and one of the men went to Kiersey in 1990 to see what they could see and found a couple of intriguing pieces of possible corroborating evidence. They determined that the ominous empty butcher shop the boys had seen that day had indeed been a butcher shop since at least 1790, and the building itself dated back to the 1300s. McKenzie guessed the boys had slipped back to sometime before the 14th century because the church, whose bells had been chiming but then suddenly disappeared, wasn't built until the 14th century. And the reason the town was empty, McKenzie reasoned, was because the boys happened to visit it just after the Black Plague in the late 1340s. It's hard to imagine an entire town getting wiped out by the plague, but maybe that's what the eerie feeling of being watched was? The leftover people lurking in upstairs rooms like weird feral children from a horror movie, watching through their long, stringy hair and occasionally coughing up blood? There are some more tangible holes in this story, though. Firstly, glass was apparently very expensive, and most regular folk at the time didn't just have glass windows all over the place like they were living at fucking Versailles. The Historic Mysteries blog asks why people would spend money on glass and then leave their houses unfurnished. But that is, of course, assuming they didn't all just run away in a panic and take their furniture with them, Grapes of Wrath style. Or maybe Robin Hood came through after everyone was gone and took all the furniture. Though I suppose he would have also taken all that expensive glass. And secondly, it wasn't common for very small villages to have their own butcher shops. People in smaller towns and villages went to a weekly market for those kinds of provisions. Is it just me, or do you also find it odd that people who work for psychical organizations that investigate paranormal stuff don't do a better job of vetting? Like, most people don't believe you from the jump. Wouldn't you want to make sure, if you're going around claiming people are involuntarily time traveling, that all your ducks are in a row? If you ask me, McKenzie's lucky he lived in the time before DMs. Don't you do any research? Strangers, Rocket Money is back to remind you that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about or are even paying for twice. I did. Rocket Money found these subscriptions and did the work for me to cancel them, and has even negotiated the price of a few of my subscriptions, so I'm saving even more money. All I had to do was submit a picture of my bill and Rocket Money took care of the rest. Who has time to sit on the phone with customer service only for them to somehow manage to upsell you when all you were trying to do was cancel your service? I don't. Plus, Rocket Money shows you all your subscriptions in one place because, let's face it, we have 75 different accounts these days, and unless you're super organized, things can get lost in the shuffle. That way, when you're doing your taxes, for example, you can look at all your subscriptions and figure out which ones are deductible. My Rocket Money dashboard shows me my spending month by month, which means I can do this new thing I'm trying called budgeting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/unexplained. That's rocketmoney.com/unexplained. rocketmoney.com/unexplained. Another popular time slip theory is that of Royal Air Force Marshal Sir Robert Victor Goddard, who was largely, or some claim solely, responsible for saving the British Expeditionary Force at Dunkirk, which I don't know much about because I didn't see the movie, because as we've already established in earlier episodes, I'm not the biggest Christopher Nolan fan. And anyway, it's only important in terms of this story to show that he was a well-respected military guy and not some dude in a tinfoil hat living in a camper in the middle of the desert somewhere. According to himself, in 1935, Goddard flew over Drem Airfield near Edinburgh, Scotland, in a heavy storm. The airfield was in disrepair, having not been used for years. Cows, probably the hairy Highland kind because it was in Scotland, were grazing on the grass that had grown up in the cracks in the tarmac. In his book Time Travel, A New Perspective, author J.H. Brennan describes what happened next. Quote, "As he approached the airfield, the torrential rain abruptly changed to bright sunlight. When he looked down, he saw the airfield had been completely renovated and was now in use. There were mechanics in blue overalls walking around and four yellow planes parked on the runway. One of these was a model which, for all his aviation experience, he completely failed to recognize. It was a very puzzling experience, not alone because the instant renovation was quite impossible, but also because mechanics were supposed to wear khaki and Air Force planes were painted with a silvery aluminum paint," end quote. However, Brennan continues, quote, "4 years later, Goddard solved the mystery. With war now raging in Europe, he happened to visit Drem again, to find it exactly as he'd seen it in 1935, complete with blue-overalled mechanics and yellow planes. He even found the plane he had been unable to identify earlier, a Miles Magister," end quote. Oh, well, that solves the mystery. Of course, it was time travel. Duh. I feel like any other person facing the same set of circumstances upon seeing the airfield 4 years later would have been like, what the double fuck? Not, oh right, time slips. Goddard was so gobsmacked by his experience, because honestly, who wouldn't be, that he went on to join the Council of the Center for Spiritual and Psychological Studies in London, where he spent a couple decades, quote, "guiding esoteric studies," as his obit in The Independent put it in 1987. But here's the thing. Goddard seems to have only reported this whole episode years later in the 1975 autobiography A Flight Towards Reality. So we're really taking this dude on faith. Oh, by the way, weirdest thing. One night in 1988, I was walking through Times Square and suddenly, where a moment before there was the hellscape of titty bars, porno theaters, sex workers, pimps, and drug dealers, There was now Disney and M&M stores, a Bubba Gump shrimp, and off-brand Elmo's offering to take a picture with you for $20. Not a titty in sight. It wasn't until the late 90s when I went back to Times Square and saw it had become the Disney hellscape I'd seen in that vision in 1988 that I realized I had time traveled. Try fact-checking that. Another time-slipping tale comes to us from the year 1940 when mountaineer Frank Smythe claimed to have had a vision while hiking in the Scottish Hills. He saw a procession of dirty, desperate-looking people clearly migrating from one area to another when suddenly, as he recounted in his book Mountain Vision,
"Concealed men leapt to their feet and brandishing spears, axes and clubs rushed down with wild yells on the unfortunates beneath. There was a short, fierce struggle, then a horrible massacre. Not one man, woman, or child was left alive. The defile was choked with corpses. I got out of the place as quickly as I could. Screams seemed to din in my ears."
Smythe was not a military man or even an historian, and therefore wouldn't have been pre-prepped with information about the place he was in. Interestingly, though, Smythe himself seemed to debunk his own experience by identifying two possible massacres that could have happened in that spot that he could have time-slipped into, but neither the weapons nor the clothes matched what he'd seen. It does lend some credibility, I think, because he could have easily lied and been like, "Yep, that's definitely what they were wearing." But Goddard and Smythe aren't the only dudes claiming they went back to the future. 20th century historian Arthur Toynbee claimed to have time-slipped all over the place. According to the blog Timeslips, quote, "As you may know, he was one of the most influential and maligned historiographers of the 20th century, known chiefly for his monumental work, A Study of History, finished in 1961, comprising 12 volumes." End quote. No, I did not know. Thank you. In 1912, when at the age of 23, Toynbee was on a visit to Greece, he found himself on a summit overlooking a valley where a bloody battle had taken place nearly 2,000 years earlier in 197 BC. As author J.H. Brennan described it, quote, "The weather had changed. There was a heavy mist that parted to allow him a view of the downhill Macedonian charge that led to disaster. The Romans spotted a weakness in the Macedonian flank, wheeled their men, and attacked with such ferocity that Toynbee had to turn his face away from the slaughter. Almost at once, the scene disappeared, and he was back in a peaceful, sunlit present." It happened to Toynbee again while inspecting some ruins in Ephesus. He was, quote, "carried down a pocket of time," end quote, to a scene that takes place in the Bible in which Paul was telling people to stop buying temple statuary, and a silversmith named Demetrius, who made temple statuaries, was not pleased. He was pissed that some guy was coming around trying to take away not only his livelihood, but his ability to worship who he saw fit to worship. Toynbee claimed to have seen the whole thing play out around him. And then, in his book A Study of History, Toynbee recounted his experience on a street in London. And yes, he refers to himself in the third person.
"In that instant, he was directly aware of the passage of history gently flowing through him in a mighty current, and of his own life welling like a wave in the flow of this vast tide. The experience lasted long enough for him to take visual note of the Edwardian red brick surface and white stone facings of the station wall gliding past him on his left, and to wonder, half amazed and half amused, why this incongruously prosaic scene should have been the physical setting of a metal illumination. An instant later, the communion had ceased, and the dreamer was back again in the everyday Cockney world, which was his native social milieu, and of which the Edwardian station wall was a characteristic period piece."
Of course, many argue that it wouldn't be hard for a well-studied historian to be able to vividly recount famous scenes from history, and it's possible Toynbee suffered from some condition that brought on hallucinations. Or he was an incredibly deep meditator. Or he liked to smoke the wacky tobacco. It's impossible to know if Toynbee actually did experience involuntary time travel. But his knowledge of the past, most especially of societies that had collapsed, gave him the ability to see into the future, in a way. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, quote, "In the study, Toynbee examined the rise and fall of 26 civilizations in the course of human history, and he concluded that they rose by responding successfully to challenges under the leadership of creative minorities composed of elite leaders. Civilizations declined when their leaders stopped responding creatively, and the civilizations then sank owing to the sins of nationalism, militarism, and the tyranny of a despotic minority." Unlike Spengler in his The Decline of the West, Toynbee did not regard the death of a civilization as inevitable, for it may or may not continue to respond to successive challenges. Unlike Karl Marx, he saw history as shaped by spiritual, not economic forces. End quote. You can substitute the word spiritual for moral, if you prefer, and then just let that information settle in. A famous quote that is attributed to Toynbee, but for which I can't find an actual original source, is,
"Of the 22 civilizations that have appeared in history, 19 of them collapsed when they reached the moral state the United States is in now."
And he died in 1975, so make of that what you will. It's one thing to go blooping around through time. It's quite another to go blooping out of time completely. Sometimes people bloop out of time and then back in it with no recollection or accounting for the amount of time they were apparently blooped out, as it were. Needless to say, these stories are pretty much impossible to verify, and considering the place we gathered them from, not entirely reliable in terms of facts. But they're entertaining, so why not? Let's head on over to Reddit. Reddit user Kyra Kira wrote that they grew up in the Arctic, where there are months and months of night, and the aurora borealis happens so regularly that most people tune them out. Sick flex, bro. So one night around 11 p.m., Kyra Kira took their parents' snowmobile out for a midnight jaunt, out to somewhere without light pollution from the city to watch the stars. Before too long, though, they heard a weird clicking noise.
"At first, I thought it was the sound of the snow machine cooling down, as the engine expands and contracts a lot in the cold. But the source of the sound definitely wasn't coming from that direction. My next thought was that there must be an animal nearby, in which case I need to get out of there fast. You don't really want to mess with a wild animal. But the clicking is far too regular for an animal to produce it. It was a fairly mechanical sounding. And again, the source of the sound isn't coming from anywhere around me laterally. It was coming from up, so naturally, I look up to determine to ascertain the origin of this strange noise. There were three rather strong points of light. I ignored them at first, thinking they were oddly symmetrical stars, but this proved false. They were definitely getting brighter. I kept staring in morbid fascination as they grew stronger and stronger, yet still only remaining single points in the sky. All the while, the clicking noise is getting louder and louder and more pronounced, almost like someone started with tapping a pen on a desk to clacking billiard balls together inside my head."
The clicking finally stopped, and Kyra Kira got back on their snowmobile and hightailed it home, pretty freaked out by the whole affair. By the time they snuck back home and got in bed, they realized,
"It was almost 11 p.m. when I left, and now it was creeping up on 6 a.m. I stood staring at clicking lights for almost 7 hours.
I mean, I once sat in one spot for 9 straight hours chatting with some people and had no idea that much time had passed until the sun came up. There may or may not have been drugs involved in that. About 6 years ago, another Reddit user named LaLane posted a tale of going out to catch the school bus one morning, but after waiting a while with no bus arriving, they went back inside.
It should be about 7:50. I open the door and my mom has just started the dishwasher. Little clock on the front showed only 1 min into the cycle and is wiping the counters. She's really surprised to see me. How could I have missed the bus when I left with so much time before it comes? I'm equally confused about that. She isn't mad at all because she just watched me leave with plenty of time to catch the bus and says she'll drive me to school. She has errands to do anyways in town, so no problem. This is when she glances up at the kitchen clock, same one I checked my leaving time on when she was saying bye to me, and says, "What?" Because it's 3 minutes to 9 a.m. We stare at each other in stunned silence. Is the clock broken somehow? We soon realize all the clocks are the same. Clock in the car is also the same. I end up being an hour late for school.
And then there was the woman for whom missing time put a real damper on her evening. She and her husband were going to the movies, which should have been a 5 to 10 minute drive from home. They'd left in time to have about a half an hour before the movie began to get their snacks and good seats. But along the way,
I commented on a car that was driving up our ass, then suddenly we both had a really weird sensation of waking up, and we were driving down a random side road and were going really slow. We both looked at each other, said, "What the hell?" turned around and got to the cinema right as the movie was starting. We lost about 20, 25 minutes, no explanation, and got really crappy seats.
So, what gives, huh? What's with these time slips and missing time? Are these all just crackpots or attention hounds? Do these people just have incredibly vivid imaginations and/or a very poor concept of time? Or could we be living in and amongst infinite other timelines? According to a piece in Psychology Today from 2022, quote, one explanation is a credible but controversial scientific theory called the multiverse theory. The multiverse theory supposes that an infinite number of worlds exist along different paths in time, which arise out of each passing moment, suggesting that different things happen in each universe. It sounds not only preposterous, but also like a lot of work for the universe. Imagine a new universe traveling along its own unique timeline, created out of every moment of time. This theory suggests that there may be an infinite number of universes. It also explains how time slips might be real, end quote. I don't know how this explains how time slips might be real. I'm surrounded by lots of other streets, but I don't just suddenly find myself on one without having knowingly traveled to it. You know what I mean? Like, I get that there might be infinite timelines all around us, but what is the mode of travel one might take to get to one of the other ones? Because I'd really like to go to one where the agricultural revolution never happened, and I am happily living half naked in a portable hut with my community. How do I get there? Or at the very least, to one in which the 2016 election turned out very differently. Another theory is that time slips happen near black holes because of the warping of space and time, and I am sure there are smart people who understand this. But as for this dummy, I'd like to know how someone gets close enough to a black hole to experience a time slip, but not to be sucked in and compressed down to a point like they tell us will happen if we fall into a black hole. Or do I also have to buy that in this infinite timeline theory there are black holes all around us too? These experiences could be chalked up to déjà vu, which is likely just a glitch in the part of the brain that processes memory, which unto itself warrants a whole other episode because that shit is bananas. It's like the little person inside your brain drops a bunch of files and mistakenly puts a current event into the "this happened before" drawer when in truth it only just happened just now. But I don't see how someone can experience a déjà vu of something that happened centuries before. Also, can we all agree to stop saying déjà vu all over again? Please? Unless you are actually experiencing a déjà vu within the same déjà vu? And then, like I mentioned before, it could be that these people were hallucinating. There are plenty of things that can cause hallucinations. Sleep deprivation, fever, drugs, epilepsy, Alzheimer's, deep trances, a bad tuna fish sandwich. And there are plenty of things that cause perceived lapses in time. Strokes, drugs, just being generally zoned out, doom scrolling on your phone. I am 100% positive, for example, that the kid in the Arctic didn't experience a paranormal phenomenon. They were either high on jazz cigarettes, or they fell asleep, or they just zoned out. I can't imagine being able to live in a place that cold, let alone lay down on the ice and just chill. Actually, no pun intended, for 7 hours. But a couple years ago, I never would have thought I could live in the suburbs with no non-garbage restaurants near me. We all adjust to our surroundings. But you didn't think I was going to end this episode without mentioning our very favorite cause of all things strange and unexplained, did you? It was aliens! When people experience a lapse in time, it's just because they got abducted and their memory was erased. Why the aliens don't just kill the humans they examine and/or experiment on is beyond me. Don't just probe us and then dump us back onto this hell rock. Get creative. Use our skin to make high-end furniture or something. Listen, my mind is open, okay? I am willing to believe. Like Fox Mulder, I want to believe. But so far, in lo these 44 years on this planet, nothing remotely inexplicable has happened to me, except maybe that you, strangers, for some reason, tune in week after week to hear me bloviate about weird stuff. Actually, maybe I shouldn't push my luck, because as weird as that is, I am so grateful for it. If I keep bugging the universe for more weird stuff, it'll be like, you asked for it! And then the next thing I know, some alien overlord will be sitting on a fine earthling leather couch made out of me, and a me in a different timeline will be like, man, this timeline sucks. I wish more weird shit would happen to me. And then I'll get caught in some awful time slip / alien abduction loop forever, and I'll be like, whoa, deja vu, all over again. Strangers, that was the final episode of Season 3. Can you believe it? I can't. Where did time go? Strange and Unexplained will take a brief break, but we'll be back for Season 4 so fast, you'll think you experienced missing time. In the meantime, you can meander through our back catalog with over 100 episodes, and you can check out our Patreon, where you get 3 bonus episodes a month for just $5. And for $7, you get all that, plus all the regular episodes ad-free. patreon.com/strangeandunexplained. Strange and Unexplained is a production of the Obsessed Network. This episode was written by me, Daisy Egan, and produced by Natalie Grillo and Angela Palladino. Research by Jess McKillop, editing by Eve Kerrigan, sound engineering and mixing by Jennifer Swatek. Our voice actors for this episode were Luther Creek, Jordan Kai Burnett, and our OG voice actor, Ryan Garcia. We have a lot of fascinating and bizarre stories to share with you, but we want to hear your episode suggestions as well. If you have an idea for a topic we should cover, go to our website, strangeandunexplainedpod.com, and fill out the contact form. If you like our show, please help us out by rating and reviewing us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. A 5-star review and a quick sentence really helps the show out a lot. If you don't like the show, you can leave a terrible review. The name of the show is The Great America Show with Lou Dobbs. Stay tuned on our Instagram page, SNU Pod, for updates and info. See you next time.